It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey everybody, what's going on? I'm Rob Sestrino, back again to talk with you about the week's most interesting news stories for the week of March 8th, 2022, here on News AF.
If the story is buzzing like it's on crystal meth, it's about to be News AF. If the same old news makes you bored to death, it's time for some News AF. Actual, factual news.
Yes, okay, News AF is back again this week. Lots of fun stuff to talk about here with the News AF team. Of course, back with us is Pickleball's top influencer, an amazing podcaster. Here he is back with us. It's Tyson Apotts. Tyson, how are you?
I'm great. I agreed with everything you said there. An amazing podcaster. Check. Number one pickleball influencer in the world. And ambassador to the sport. Check.
Oh, I didn't know and, the ambassadorship.
Ambassadorship. Yeah.
I mean, unofficial.
Yeah.
It's unofficial, but still, yes. I do.
Do they send you in to resolve disputes in pickleball?
No, I'm not that kind of an ambassador. I just share the sport.
You don't. Practice pickleball diplomacy.
You don't go to other sporting events like a basketball game and then like
shake hands with the basketballers. Yes. Yeah. And be like, I am here on behalf of the pickleballers of America to join in a holy alliance with
when aliens
the
invade,
National Basketball Association.
And they put together a group of humans to introduce to the aliens. I'm assuming as the pickleball ambassador,
you will be their representative.
I definitely will. Yes. With my gamma pickleball stuff on and my field of pickleball stuff on.
Well, the aliens may be from the gamma quadrant. So it's like,
it's going to be perfect. So fun story about gamma real quick, gamma pickleball paddles. They started in tennis and they started making tennis strings that were like infused with gamma rays. Like they had this gamma ray device. And for some reason it added like a different element to the tennis strings themselves. And they still do that, I think.
Isn't gamma like the most damaging of all the radiation?
I think that's gamma.
Yeah,
I think there is something like that.
You know, in instances like I believe that that's what the scientist Bruce Banner was, I think,
messing around with,
which actually turned him into the Incredible Hulk. So you might
imagine. Imagine the Incredible Hulk of tennis strings. That's what gamma has.
I've been reading this book about early scientists and they discover, you know, some of these uranium, plutonium X-rays and they're just playing around with it.
Yeah.
Sounds like maybe that's when gamma was invented on the time of Marie Curie or whatever. And they're like, oh yeah, this makes these strings super strong and the balls glow after you strike it, which would be cool.
It's cool.
Play at night?
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Or would you find like old timey medication bottles from like the 1800s and you're like, stuff is illegal now.
Yeah. They used to carry around this like glowing powder to show at parties. It was like highly radioactive.
Yeah.
I think I read a story when someone gave like the King of Prussia a bunch of radioactive material. And it's just crazy back then, you know, when tennis rackets were being invented and probably radiation, it's just they teamed together to create the ultimate racket.
Yeah. Very cool.
It was quite a racket. Yeah.
It was quite a racket. Rob, who else do we have with us today?
Of course, back with us once again, a man who came very close to losing a close friend on his latest adventure. Please welcome back Danny Bryson.
Two potential lost friends.
Wow.
Because there's one at the bottom of the avalanche and one at the top.
Who were we going to lose here?
we were going to lose Jay Russ.
Uh-huh.
And potentially Matt.
Wow. John Russell and Matt. Who was the one skiing? John?
John had already skied.
So he was at the bottom.
The line. So he was at the bottom. But he was in a safe place. But the minute he saw the giant cloud of avalanche coming towards him, he moved to a safer place.
Okay.
And then Matt kind of skied down, did like a little ski cut, and then just broke off a rather large avalanche. So it was exciting for everyone but me.
I didn't get to watch the video. I saw you show it to Rob. Did Matt get caught up in it, or did
he managed to claw? You know how you have like super strength and you lift cars off of infant babies when you are in a moment of like,
you're talking about me specifically.
Yeah. Well, I know you've lifted cars off multiple babies.
Yeah.
But he just like clawed his way to freedom because he was at the top of it. So his only job
like
was to
virtual
hold on.
Claw with his hands, or he was skiing
like,
at all.
Like trying to punch into the hard snow to get a grip. So, and then we didn't know if John was buried. So the minute the avalanche, it was probably still going. I just kind of skied behind it. It was going down and then looking for John. Luckily, he wasn't under the snow. I just don't want to.
Did you guys have beacons?
Yeah, of course. And airbags, whatever that's worth.
Mm-hmm. Probably
it's good to be here, though.
When you say airbags, is it like a car airbag?
So they may
release it.
Yeah, there's a little handle here and you pull it and a giant airbag inflates. And there's some principle. I watched a video on it on how like larger things tend to rise to the top when you're kind of like jumbling up stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's the concept behind it. It won't do anything to help stop you from being broken in half by trees,
but which was really the biggest threat. The avalanche.
But it'll keep you on top so we can find your, damaged, torn apart corpse.
Yeah.
Easier. Save us some work.
Okay. So one more quick here, Rob. How did you guys all have like wobble legs after that? Were you guys like,
I was
close
fine.
To death. What about
I,
that?
I triggered an avalanche last year that caused me more adrenaline. This one, we were like, what do we want to ski now?
So you all just continued skiing after that.
Yeah. Well, we ran out of time. So we're like, we don't have time to go up to that other slope.
So no wobble legs from any of the three.
I was surprised. I thought Matt would come down and be like, I'm done. Take my skis. I'm walking home. But he instead was like, what do we want to go do now? It's like, cool.
Okay. That's cool.
Please be careful.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was being careful. I was the last one.
Yeah. You make sure everybody else.
That's what although, you send the other guys first.
Interesting note.
They don't have podcasts and YouTube channels.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Just because you go first and the first guy made it through fine. And honestly, I think Matt triggered the avalanche because he forgot to do something. So he skied down and then made a hard stop. And that kind of like stop.
Right.
But that little extra pressure on the snow that caused it to break. Because in the video, you can see him bring himself to a stop. And right when he does that, everything breaks loose.
Yeah. Okay. So you want to be the last to go. So, or is it like then maybe the, if you're the first to go, maybe that you're less likely to hit the avalanche because
it's just a roll of the dice.
Oh yeah. All I'm saying is there is no position that guarantees
it's
absolute
like the Squid
safety.
Game bridge.
There is.
Exactly.
Good there point. Is really, there is one way to really beat these avalanches, Danny. And that's to just go straight down without any turns.
Yeah, that's true. You could just like bomb it.
Yeah, every
single time.
Which would
be cool. I mean, I don't know if you guys seen the video of the guy who does the backflip while the avalanche is coming behind him.
No.
He jumps off a cliff and does a backflip. And I'm just like, wow, there you go. Careless disregard.
He doesn't care at all.
Death.
I have seen
the middle finger to death.
I have seen videos of skiers outrunning avalanches by straight shooting it, which if you just always straight shot, then you'd always outrun them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the backcountry skier's biggest crutch is that they ski a lot slower. They're not like free skiers, on the free ride tour. Yeah. They're like, ooh, I like making tons of turns. Like, wrong.
Yeah. The guys who like making the most turns are in the most dangerous place to make turns.
Yeah, exactly. So anyway, good to be here. I go skiing later today. So,
And did you and Matt both probably had peace of mind knowing that your eulogy was already written by me?
Yeah. I was like, Tyson, I yelled down to him as he was going away with the slide. I said, don't worry, Tyson's already written a eulogy.
Yeah.
He was like, cool.
Would it be a co-eulogy at that point, Tyson?
Of course.
Yeah. I mean, I've written it in a way that I can just plug Danny or Matt's name into it.
It's like ad lib. Remember that game?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, today, our dearly beloved Danny C. Bryson
was sent to poop land, which is when I do ad lib with my boys. Everything is poop, wiener, or butt. Like everything. There's no changing it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what Mad Libs is.
All it is an opportunity for little kids to say what they would call potty words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's the only play there, really, because nothing else is even funny.
Then their laughter. They think it's so funny. It doesn't even make sense anymore.
They can't even breathe.
Because they don't know what a verb is or a noun. But to them, it is so funny that they got Google to say poop and wiener five times.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Always a crowd.
It's a new world.
All right. Well, Danny, you survived the avalanche to come back and be with us here today.
Welcome back.
I do have some other bad news to talk about, though, because another invasive species is on the loose.
Never ends.
It's been 2 years since we talked about the murder hornets, which kind of died down. And we should so lucky to have the same fate here as we talk about the giant parachuting spiders, which will begin to move about the East Coast, according to some experts over in that's the University of Georgia.
Experts. Wow. Parachuting has a terrifying element.
Mm-hmm. Where are these spiders originally from?
Okay, I believe, like a lot of these species that seem to not be here, I believe that they are coming by way of Asia, but they are not supposed to be here.
Did they parachute all the way from Asia?
No, they didn't, because they'd end up on the West Coast if that were the case, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Plus, it's just a long way around.
I guess, yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know how the currents go.
Yeah, they're originally from Japan. They're the called a Joro spider, J-O-R-O. And they started in Georgia, but because they can survive the cold weather, they have continued to spread out.
That's the thing is, I often see cold weather as a barrier to a lot of bad things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But these ones that can survive cold weather, they're unstoppable. Basically, they'll
unstoppable.
Run the world.
And unfortunately, in trying to control the Joro spider population as an invasive species, well, nobody is a predator of the 3-inch Joro spiders.
From Japan, by the way. Mm-hmm. And why don't birds eat these things? Don't birds love spiders?
It looks like a watermelon color. I almost think that they'd be delicious.
Can we turn them into some kind of sandwich material for us to eat?
Human protein, for us to eat?
Yeah. Actually, looking at the picture, I wouldn't eat that.
And so,
but it's watermelon. It looks like a watermelon.
Doesn't.
So are they poisonous?
Yes, but bee sting level poison, not like kill an elephant poison.
No.
Okay.
And so the reason that they're able to travel so far is that they are able to use their webs like parachutes to be able to travel distances on the wind. Like, remember that feather in Forrest Gump that was moving all around?
Yeah, or the plastic bag in American Beauty. Or there's...
Dude, I see tons of plastic bags that do this.
Beautiful.
Why didn't humans develop like something we shoot out of our butts and travel with?
Hmm.
It'd be kind of convenient.
Maybe in the future as we evolve and people who can shoot travel parachutes out of their butts will be more prized by the females and will then be in the mating pool more often.
So
we have parachuting spiders here, I believe. I think there are other species of spider that travel this way on the wind like that.
Mm-hmm.
And now is like spider season in Arizona as it's kind of warming up from winter into spring here.
Mm-hmm.
And there are spider webs everywhere.
Everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So don't worry too much about getting bit by these creatures, that they have a very, very small fangs, even though that they are big spiders. So it would be hard for them to...
Are they self-conscious?
I don't know about their small fangs.
Yeah.
Do they drive big trucks?
That might be why they have to travel so far away. Like somebody calls them out on their small fangs. They're like, all right, I'm just leaving town.
That's a smart play. Mm-hmm. No, you don't have to sit around and get bullied by the other.
Maybe they're going to a place to get some fang augmentation.
Mm-hmm. You would think they're headed to the West Coast.
Yeah, that's where it all happens.
Maybe they're on their way. Yeah,
they probably are headed over here. It's only a matter of time, right? Anything that can travel by butt parachute will eventually find its way everywhere.
Not to Arizona.
I bet they find their way to Arizona.
They stop over on the way to California.
They're not going to survive.
Think about
the heat.
all the cold
weather spiders.
Japan gets super hot. As 115 well as cold.
Degrees, super dry.
Maybe they'll mutate and they'll become even stronger and their fangs will grow longer and the poisonous will be super poisonous.
I mean, that does sound like what the desert does to animals.
It really does. It takes like innocent creatures and mutates them into man killers.
even the plants here are deadly. Like you look at a plant and you're like, I can't touch that. I can't even get close to that thing. That thing's going to stab me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's the harshest conditions. And I mean, like I've done very well for myself in the desert to stay as soft as I am.
Yeah. Even humans in the desert tend to develop deadly traits.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay.
Especially if you turn the air conditioning off everywhere. No, man.
Forget it.
Humans are the worst.
All right. We'll keep you posted as the giant parachuting spider is on the loose.
Is there
probably
like a
show up
tracker?
Your doorstep first?
You know how Google has the Santa tracker yet. Where you can see?
Not yet. Well,
I like that idea, Tyson. I think that would be great. Yeah.
It would
like,
be. Butt parachute spider tracker. It's an app. You plug it in, you can see the wave of the front line where it's moving. Really, really smart. I'm a genius.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
We have another animal story to talk about. I know over the last couple of weeks, we've been following the saga of Hank the Tank, which turned out to be a number of bears that were in the Lake Tahoe area. In Montana, they have a lot of issues with grizzly bears as well. And there is a new position that is opening up, which is called a grizzly bear conflict manager. And I thought this might be perfect for Danny.
Does it come with a helicopter?
I don't think it comes with a helicopter.
That's a big...
Yet. You have to work your way up, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, what does it involve?
All right. Grizzly bear conflict manager. Can I tell you the salary?
I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. Starting at $79,363.
Yes.
Okay. The government, U.S. government, is offering one lucky applicant the chance to spend time in the Montana wilderness. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sound good so far, Danny?
Yeah, sounds okay.
All right. Dealing with the world of grizzly bears. The issue is not necessarily breaking up fights between grizzly bears, which do happen, but it is to ease friction between the grizzly bears and humans.
Like you step in, whoa.
Okay, all right.
Check it. I've got government issued picnic baskets in my truck for the bear, and then I've got a government issued picnic basket in my truck for the human. And Then they go their separate ways.
Mm-hmm. Chuck the Slim Jim away from the human. The bear goes for it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. Run, run.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or do you have to be like, okay, you guys have to hug and keep hugging until you're able to say sorry to each other.
How do you resolve human bear conflict? Like that's
you make them hold hands until they share with each other.
Can you just have them sit down and talk? Like what are the, your options here? What kind of tools are you given to deal with this conflict?
I think I already know. It's the Yellowstone video that we watched, Danny, before we backpacked into the backcountry where,
oh yeah.
As you approach as the bear conflict guy, every two steps you have to clap and say, yeah, bear, yeah, bear.
Hey, bear. Hey, bear.
Hey, bear. Hey, bear. And you just make noise and they do not like, as annoying like as that sounds to you, Rob, bears hate it even more.
Did you see the write up for this job description? I'm sure you
must
did
be willing to die.
The incumbent may be subject to large numbers of biting insects and may be required to work in close proximity to large animals such as bears and moose.
Yeah.
Really not going to get a lot of people applying for the job.
Yeah. With you just get to carry a gun.
Danny loves that.
Yeah, that's just the gun and the spray to me are just this false sense of security. The odds of me hitting a bear as it charges me are almost zero. Mm-hmm. I'll probably more likely to shoot myself in the foot.
What's a bigger false sense of security? A helmet while you're skiing or a gun and bear spray while you're resolving these issues?
The helmet, I trust the helmet. I definitely don't trust the bear spray or the gun. Helmet
saved your life before?
No, but I think it has a good track record. Maybe the bear spray does also have a decent track record. But the gun, I don't read a lot of people who are like quick enough on the draw to thwart a bear charge.
I just do think even when you shot yourself in the foot, Danny, I think that the noise from the gun is going to scare the bear.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe. I think so too. Mm-hmm. I agree with Rob here. I think
you'll be maimed, but I think the bear will run for it.
Yeah. But what I've done is
if you do pop, pop, pop. Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah. But then my blood is like enters the air and turns the grizzly into a bloodthirsty maniac. Like no longer shark, thwarted like the by the pop of the gun.
Land, like shark of land.
Land shark. Definitely a hairy land shark. One part per million of blood in the soil.
Does the grizzly bear have a taste for human blood?
Well, why not? I bet you my blood tastes smells so sweet.
From all the Mountain Dew?
Imagine the finest meat, which I'm assuming I'm made of, soaked in the finest honey. I mean, to me, that would be irresistible, and I feel like that's what I have to offer. Someone might
know honey or whatever.
Yeah, stuff someone as delicious as myself should not take up this job. You should probably take this job up if you're less delicious than me.
Mm-hmm. You don't think you're gristly?
I just think that I've soaked my meat in delicious Mountain Dew for so long that it's just, oh my gosh.
Okay.
Delicious.
Literally.
Yeah.
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 If you want this job, you must be required to lift a 50-pound weight.
I can do that.
Okay. And although you will not be working directly with wrestling a bear, it is not required or encouraged.
Why don't we send in the pickleball ambassador to create
introduce
a treaty,
the sport.
Negotiate with the grizzly
negotiate
bears.
Negotiate treaty between the bears and humans. I feel like that's a good job for pickleball ambassador Tyson.
It's a great job for me, actually, when we think about it. We can create a pickleball league amongst humans and bears alike and finally come to a resolution and understanding so that we no longer have conflicts that even need resolving.
Resolve territorial disputes through pickleball. That's what you're offering, right?
Yeah, but then I think I will probably be so effective at the job using the sport of pickleball that essentially I will eliminate the need for my position.
Oh, wow.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the problem with being so good at something.
No.
I think part of the challenge is going to be, you know, the tourists are going to come through, people visiting the parks. So they will always be different people, but I feel like you're going to run into the bears over and over again. And I think you have to be careful that the bears don't always feel like you're taking the human side.
Yeah, that's true. You should be taking the bear side, especially if you built up a relationship, a trust with them.
Yeah.
The bears might require you to do some anti-human things to earn their trust, kind of like when you're working your way into a gang as an undercover cop.
Such as?
Like beat up a human and run away. Okay. Break into a car and steal food. mm-hmm. Go into a tent uninvited and terrorize people. Yeah. So yep. then you can work your way into
earn their respect. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's classic initiation process.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Then the mayors feel like they have somebody on the inside.
Yeah, they might even require you to kill someone. Just heads up. Mm. Like, give you some claws. Be like, hey, go do this.
Quite grisly. Yeah.
Yeah, that is grisly.
We have to make sure you're not a cop.
Or yeah.
Or a cop.
Yeah. Yeah. They got to make sure you're not a cop either.
Yeah, they don't know.
So our bears, and our bears generally anti-cop? Is that, are they defunding the police? Is that one of their main platforms here?
I think they're anti any authority figure that's mm-hmm. going to tell them where they should live, what mm-hmm. cars they can break into, yeah. what garbage they can eat.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So I just feel like they're anti-authority. It doesn't matter where it's coming from. Mm-hmm.
So Yogi Bear was more of like a documentary, docu-series style.
Right.
About bears.
He had issues with the ranger, right?
Yeah, but I feel like it was National Forest propaganda. You know, they're feeding the bears like, hey, look, bears can't be bad. Humans. We're not so bad.
Yeah.
And the mm-hmm. next thing they knew, bam, they were in a cage with a big collar around their neck.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Wow. Well, Danny, I look forward to hearing your adventures here. I think you could go skiing up in Montana quite a bit, too.
Yeah, I could. Then the bears aren't out typically during the heart of the ski season. So
more time to ski.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. I got one other animal related story.
Wow. It's a zoo in here.
It's big animal day today. Have either of you seen the new Batman movie starring mm-hmm. Robert Pattinson called The Batman?
I did. You did.
You went to the movie theater, Danny?
Yeah. A person hired out a whole theater for a birthday party and wow. I went to it.
Who is this wealthy person you know?
My sister-in-law.
Okay.
Oh, man. So. Wow.
And this was an adult birthday party.
Adult, yes.
Yes. And your sister-in-law really loves the Batman or loves just Robert Pattinson?
Or just movies?
She loves all those things. She's very upbeat, positive.
Trifecta of love right there.
Exactly. I did go, and by the way, it is 3 hours long, and you feel every minute.
Ooh, nope, not for me. Rachel and I looked at movies a while ago to go to, and we opted not to because the shortest movie was 2 hours and 15 and the longest movie was about 3 hours. And
what is going on? I mean,
yeah, an hour 15 is the optimal movie theater time. That's optimal.
That's a TV show now.
It's an episode.
That's why TV is so perfect nowadays is an hour 15. An hour is just a hair too short for a movie theater experience. An hour and a half is pushing the limit. Mm-hmm. So anything between an hour and a half, ideal.
And Tyson, this was just you and Rachel or were the girls with you also?
Yeah, this was just me and Rachel.
I mean, with your kids, for sure. For sure.
That's
make it a kids movie
for sure.
Yeah.
Kids for sure. And anything over an hour is like maybe. We watch Dumbo at our house so often, the old animated Dumbo, because it is literally an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the perfect movie to just be like, okay, we've been playing all day. We're a little tired. You want to watch a movie? Dumbo's an hour.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Well, Danny, when you were at the theater for The Batman, were there any hijinks going on?
No hijinks whatsoever.
Okay. Well, none.
Yeah.
Well, there could have been in the dark that I wasn't aware of, but
like I just sexual hijinks. Is that? What
I don't know.
To
you Rob? Never know. The lights go off in a public place.
Yeah, and Robert Pattinson's up there on screen, probably looking paler than he ever has.
Hypothetically, maybe like the Batman just awakens something in people who are going to see it. But I would think that if you were going into the movie theater for hanky panky. I think you wouldn't go to a sold out film on opening night.
With only friends and family.
Right.
Yeah.
Well,
right.
What about, did Robert Pattinson do any of his, famous vampire hisses? I feel like he's already built for this role.
No, but they did show him shirtless a couple times. And no matter how they tried, he's a scrawny dude. And it was not ripped.
Is he still pale?
He was pretty pale. It was more goth. I mean, I read the reviews before I watched it. A lot of them mentioned the word goth, and I have to agree with that.
Gotham City, maybe.
That's right. Just all the sets, very dark, lots of rain, lots of makeup like that looks like runny mascara on Batman.
Yeah, sounds about right.
Someone from Gotham City is considered a goth.
I guess that does make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you happen to go see Batman on Friday night at the Movie House and Eatery by Sinopolis in Northwest Austin, you might have been sitting there in the movie theater when a prankster released a bat into the theater, a live bat.
It's a dangerous time to be doing pranks.
Yeah, lots of liability here too. Bats are famous for carrying rabies.
Mm-hmm.
Famous for carrying rabies. And I think that that's very dangerous to do.
How much happier would everyone have been if he'd released a box of puppies?
Or not come to the movie at all.
Or not gone to the movie. Right. Of all the things you could release, though, a bat is better than, say, like a raccoon or a ferret or a bear.
Is a bat better than a raccoon?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys...
That's honestly not going to do that much damage or any damage. Video,
it's just up there at the ceiling. It's trying to get out.
Yeah, it's trying to get out. It's searching for bugs. It's not interested in humans.
I've got some parachuting spiders you might be interested in, bat.
Bats will get into those.
However, post-COVID, a bat could be seen as an attack. Like releasing a bat might not be over as well as it would have 4 years ago.
Yeah, I don't think it's ever going well. I think that that's... you're releasing a wild animal into a human environment that's enclosed. That's not cool.
You have bats in the desert. You probably see them at sunset all the time, right?
All the time. Yeah.
Do that trick where you throw up a rock.
Yeah. And they all dive bomb the rock.
Yeah, they all dive bomb the rock.
Because they hunt by sonar, Rob. And so if you throw a rock, they can't tell the difference between a rock floating in the air, a bug floating in the air.
Or a parachuting spider.
And so... all the bats will dive at this little pebble that you flicked up in the air.
And they collide?
No, they kind of all zoom away as they realize it's actually not.
Yeah, you're pranking the bats. So this guy was pranking humans with a bat, but Tyson's pranking bats.
I don't necessarily do that often or ever. Only if I'm in a crew group of people who's never seen it
never
before.
Seen it before. Then I'm
like, check this out. Yeah.
It's a party trick. Yeah.
Yeah. We did have a bat hanging on our patio one evening, like a year or two ago, and I got some pictures and video of it. So bats are fine. I'm not afraid of bats. I'm not afraid of a bat in this situation. It might be annoying if it's on this getting like in front of the screen the whole time.
Honestly,
as far as that prank goes, I think the audience probably doesn't care or notice that much. And the only people that do are the establishment. And it's just annoying for them to figure out how to.
And get everyone out. Like, sorry, guys, movie's canceled. Get your,
No, you think they canceled the movie? I bet nobody noticed that.
You think?
Video I saw, there was a manager up front talking to people.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where that led to. But I feel like they're going to be like, hey, we can't have you guys in here with this bat.
Interesting.
Might be infected with gamma rays.
What a relief, though, you know, for
one bite.
And imagine though being like talked into going to a 3-hour movie and somebody releasing a bat and you get to just go home.
I would never go back.
What a relief.
Do you think that that's what happened, Danny? Do you think that this person was like, all right, fine, I'll go. But if I'm bored, the bat's coming out.
Yeah, that's how he got out of his. Oh, what a shame. And a bat of all creatures. Yeah, we'll have to go home.
Yeah. A rain check? No, don't bother. The line's too long to get our rain check. Let's just go home. I don't mind maybe paying for it again.
Yeah, we'll watch it when it comes out on streaming.
Now, did they catch the person who did the prank?
The perpetrator?
Where did he keep the bat? In his like pants pocket?
That's the thing. Like, where did he, maybe in a Tupperware or something? Yeah. If you're keeping that bat somewhere, there was a couple in Utah a couple years ago who had a bat infestation in their home, in their attic. And they just lived communally with these bats. And they'd like handle the bats and pet the bats. And the bats would land on their hands and stuff.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Both people died from rabies. They didn't even ever get attacked by a bat or bit by a bat, but the micro abrasions from the baby teeny little claws of the bat on their skin was enough to give them rabies. And by the time they realized they had rabies, there was nothing to be done.
Oh my God.
And bats, so bats are, dangerous in this capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's the biggest issue.
Do you think that whoever did this had a pet bat and wanted to do something nice for the bat and show them the movie?
What they could become.
Honors the bats the most. The Batman.
Part of me thought maybe this was some kind of 3D experience.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look.
4D. It would be 4D.
When he goes into the cavern and the bats are swirling around, release the bats. And they swirl around.
Did this.
And you're like, this is so exciting. I feel like I'm there in his bat cave with his runny makeup.
Mm-hmm. Ah, I got guano dripping down my face. How this is that exciting. Happen?
That's just exactly how it would have been in the bat cave. The bats have pooped all over me.
He's a guano vampire. Everywhere. He turns into a bat. He's the Batman. Makes sense.
Yeah. Natural progression.
Guano is the world's most nutritious soil fertilizer for Earth.
Yeah. I don't think they caught the person that did this because I think they would have said their name.
Yeah, I don't think they did either. I think it's pretty difficult to catch the person.
All right,
if you don't notice a guy walking in the theater with a bat, you're not going to catch him once the bat is released.
Fingerprints off that bat.
To make sure this never happens again, they're adding additional security and checking all bags upon guest entry.
This is a problem with pranks and crimes.
Yeah.
Makes everybody else's lives so much more
Danny
inconvenient.
Danny can't sneak his hot tamales and Mountain Dew into his Quadrosaurus jeans.
Yep.
There's no room in my jeans. I'd be tearing seams if I tried to put something in my pocket.
Okay.
Oh, man. Difficult life you live, Danny.
Yeah. It is challenging.
So, all right. We have a crime to report in Denver.
Crime Stoppers.
A box of human heads has been stolen.
Oh, again?
Mm-hmm.
Or is this the first time?
How disappointed were those Amazon thieves?
Mm-hmm.
Or excited. Yeah.
So you're saying that on the Neighborhood Watch app?
Yeah, on my Ring app.
And they're like, hey, anybody see a box show up with my address on it? I noticed this guy took it off my doorstep. Guy opens it. Human heads.
Yep. By the way, according to my Ring app, which sends me notifications from neighbors, I live in Kandahar because it is nonstop gunshot alerts.
Like, oh my God.
Just so many people. I don't understand it. Just heard gunshots. Or the gunshots, anyone? I bet
Are you hearing the gunshots, Danny?
No, neither are they. I don't know what they're imagining, but it's not gunshots. But every Ring notification is someone writing, think I just heard gunshots.
Mm-hmm.
I wish that it said, does anybody know where my box of human heads went?
Yeah. Okay. So this happened in Denver, where there was a truck that was carrying the heads, which were supposed to be for research, that they had been in a box called Exempt Human Specimen. That box was stolen out of a van.
You know, exempt human specimen on the box tag. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah,
that could be almost anything.
Hmm.
Exciting is what I'm trying to say.
It is. Yeah, you definitely are opening that box out of curiosity at this point. I would go straight to like, oh, is it something from the bodies exhibit, which supposedly is all real human matter and.
I would not have thought heads. That would have been an exciting moment because you picture transporting lots of organs,
right?
Maybe some appendages, but the head, I mean, come on, that's the best part of the whole body.
Yeah. Some would say it's the center for everything.
So imagine how excited these people were when they're like, yes, heads.
Yeah.
Heads.
I've been taking boxes for years from this place.
Mm-hmm. Enough brains to finally
make some soup.
Yeah. I will say that whoever broke into this van and stole the box, I'm sure, did not read the label. What a fright they must have gotten when they opened up the box to reveal a box of heads.
Do you think immediately they're like, these are real? Or do you think like, oh, this is like some Halloween store party thing?
Yes.
Like,
what do you do with it? Let's say you don't want to throw it away. right? Let's say you don't want to burn it. Mm-hmm. How do you put it to use around the house?
Danny, of the three of us on the panel, you're the one that has been most interested in bumping into a dead human carcass.
And reporting it. I'm not interested in keeping it. Even if I found a skull that was 1,000 years old.
A thousand years old? You're not keeping a 1,000-year-old skull?
I don't know. I don't want to look at the skull of some human.
Well, let me go ask That's Rachel and see if she will allow me to have any skulls here at this house.
Let alone a head with flesh, hair, mm-hmm. cartilage, probably still on it. Probably no eyes. Mm-hmm. So at least they're not looking at me. But I'm not keeping this. I'm burn it. I probably wouldn't burn it. I probably would just leave the box somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you can. Sure. So authorities are asking for people, if they have any information about the whereabouts of the human heads, email media@sciencecare.com. They said, this is an extremely rare situation.
Imagine you donate your body.
Yeah.
And your head is put in a box with a bunch of other heads, which, by the way, seems a little disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
Someone steals the box and you end up at some frat house, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you upset? I mean, is a frat house a better final resting place for your head than some kind of medical research facility?
I can't imagine who would say that it was.
Well, at least like people are getting joy out of it.
Do you feel like people are getting joy out of a decapitated corpse head?
Well, yeah, like doing like bong hits, like pouring it down the mouth and then having a tube come out the throat.
I don't think so, Dan.
Yeah,
you don't think anyone's that macabre?
We can have human heads.
I've seen quite a few comedies, and I feel like this fits in nicely with, you know, a lot of those college dorm comedies.
Mm-hmm. You think they could do like a Weekend at Bernie's, except for it's an entire
meets old school
frat
Weekend
house.
At Bernie's meets old school movie.
Yes. Yes.
Do you think that they were trying to recreate the 1997 Joe Pesci film, Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag?
They could.
Is that a real movie, Rob?
Yeah,
David Spade, Joe Pesci.
It's called Eight Heads in a Duffel Bag.
Yes.
It's all of the sex symbols of that time in one film.
Whoa.
Yeah. I think that you could do like a, oh, we need this X amount of frat brothers to be in this fraternity to be like approved by the university. Oh. And then they get this head bag of heads and they're like, okay, we just got to find bodies for them.
Or just put them in the bed with pillows and stuff.
Yeah.
You don't think that a grizzly bear might have put a park ranger through another one of these initiation stunts, do you?
Oh my goodness.
It could be that.
Bring me a human head.
Or this could be a classic carpool lane hijinks, like just to
like
get
James
into the carpool lane.
Does.
Yeah, exactly. Or like on Curb. It's just put a couple heads on the seat backs. Mm-hmm. Looks like you've got a bunch of people in your car. Mm-hmm. Boom.
Totally fine.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's talk about another interesting piece of research that was found that tells us about the part of the body that you wash first is a bit of a personality test because it tells you a little bit about yourself.
Okay. You want me to go first?
All right. Yeah. So tell me, Tyson, when you take a shower, what do you wash first?
The first thing I do is put shampoo in my hair.
Okay.
Me too.
First thing, hair. And that's, I would say that's the same for me. Again, and these come from not necessarily research, but lifestyle expert, Anu Mukherjee has revealed their findings. Okay.
And I think you get your life expert degree the same place you get your numerology degree. Mm-hmm. It's like a similar canvas. Yeah.
An unaccredited online.
Yeah.
Okay. Certificate. If you wash your hair first, if you wash your hair before any other part of the body, that you are most likely a hopeless romantic. You are often immersed in your thoughts, she said, and you have the temperament of an intellectual and an artist.
Yes.
Boom. On all fronts.
You're probably a podcaster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have the purest form of art.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought anyone could truly understand me. But now this lady has just nailed it on the head.
Yeah.
Okay. But now we have to read another one to make sure they're not just.
Let's go straight to people who wash their dong first. I want to know what that is.
Their feet. So they wash their feet first.
So they tell you about your face, your shoulders, your armpits, your chest, your hair, any body part. That probably constitutes any body part.
Do any of these say like psychopath?
Yeah.
Maybe the ones she left out were psychopath.
Mm. Definitely should be institutionalized.
None of them say that you
are negative.
Yeah.
None of them are negative. Yeah. Oh, well, that's well, everybody gets safe away with feeling good after reading this story.
Yep.
That's not how it should work. Some people should be very worried.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you wash your armpits first in the shower, it means that you are a very reliable and attentive person. However, it may come off as you are naive and can lack confidence. So if that's the one thing, if you get in the shower and you wash your armpits, it's like you're feeling maybe you don't have confidence.
Chest.
Your chest. Yes. People who are honest and loyal wash their chest first. Unfortunately, these people are usually pretty stressed out and all they want is to do well. So
there are negative effects to some of these. Ours was the best hair.
Ours was good, but that's the most logical to start with is your hair. Once in a while, like let's say that I'm extra stinky from exercising.
Yep.
I will wash my armpits first, then I'll wash my hair, and then I'll go back through and also wash my armpits again on the second one.
Face doesn't sound good.
Yeah, what's face, Danny?
Love money and often struggle to get along with others as their point of view on the subject is hard to understand.
Yeah. So you wash your face first. Bad communicator.
Yeah. And you're a bad communicator.
Yeah.
That one's bad. I thought all of these were going to be like, oh, you're handsome and everyone loves you. But it's like, nope, sorry. Mm-hmm. You love money and no one can understand anything you say.
Yeah. Which makes it hard to earn money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What a frustrating life face washers must have.
Well,
they love money, but don't have the communication skills to earn it.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody else who had a tough life, who also struggled in the shower, was none other than Edward Scissorhands.
Oh, my gosh. I see where you're going.
Yeah. So Edward Scissorhands, if you are a big fan of the 1990 film, you can now own the Edward Scissorhands house for a cool $700,000.
If you like clutter and garbage, it also looks like this might be the house for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
As it looks pretty cluttered.
Okay. Where is it?
Florida. So it is in, looks like it's in Tampa.
Oh, you might live next to Tom.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if he's going to stay there.
Oh yeah.
Tom Brady. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the weather's probably pretty nice at certain points of the year.
So, not only is it a yard that is landscaped to replicate the house appeared in the movie, there is a ton of Edward Scissorhands memorabilia. And it comes with the house.
That's a problem with a house like this.
Do you also get the castle on the hill?
No.
You're expected to keep the house in the scissored hand way. You know what I mean? That's the sucky thing about buying this house. Although I'd love to see someone come in and just erase all the history.
Mm-hmm. Tear it down.
Yeah.
Tear it down and build something else.
A monument to the Buccaneers.
Right. So they bought it only recently in September of 2020 for $230,000. They turned it into an Edward Scissorhands museum and allowed free admission. But now they seem to regret that decision.
I would buy that full scale. There's an Edward Scissorhand full scale. I don't know what you call it.
Mannequin
with like dress and scissors for hands. I would buy that. Be a great Halloween thing to put on your front porch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so how much is that for sale?
This is not like a la carte.
Greedy.
You come in, you get the Edward Scissorhands museum. The owners said they will not sell it to anyone who would destroy the house.
Oh, see, that's the problem. You just limited the number of buyers to people who are pretty old.
Yeah.
And love Edward Scissorhands.
Well, Edward Danny, to be fair, all the people who do love Edward Scissorhands are people who are very old.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like it's a very, I guess it's in Florida, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, retirement.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested. I'm looking at other properties more on the beach.
Yes. You're looking.
I mean, you could also be next door and still enjoy the museum free of charge.
That's a good point.
Even,
yes.
But not have to maintain it or own it.
But Danny, you would buy the Kroll Museum house, right?
I'd be interested in seeing what the Kroll, yeah, castle. It's going to have to be a castle. The Kroll Castle Museum.
Yeah.
Tyson and I went to the house of the creator of the Alien.
Yes.
Remember in Switzerland,
yes.
Tyson?
Yes.
I would not buy that house because the Alien
James
itself,
Cameron?
Not James no, Cameron. The
creator, Alien, the movie.
I can't remember his name. He's kind of famous.
Who created the actual aliens, the artist who,
yeah.
who manufactured what the aliens
last looked name like. Starts with a G. He's pretty famous, and that house would be terrifying. If they said, look, you have to keep everything in this house, like all the face suckers.
Yeah.
And no, thank you. Yeah, I wouldn't even take it for free.
Yeah. Okay. Should Johnny Depp buy the Edward Scissorhands house?
Yes.
He doesn't have any money.
He's out of money, isn't he?
He just had to get rid of the Viper Room. If he still owned it.
But maybe, okay, Johnny Depp buy the Edward Scissorhands house and then charge admission, like $40 a person, come through, meet the real Edward Scissorhands.
Johnny Depp.
Raking it in.
Dude.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Define raking. Like, what amount of money would you consider raking it in this situation?
At least, I mean, like $160 a week. Yeah. Think about it, Danny.
Well, why should I think about it? How am I going to get a hold of Johnny?
Put the word out.
Yeah, I mean, probably he's got social
media. Tyson's a pickleball ambassador. Yeah. He's definitely got more reach.
Do you think that maybe that the owner of the Edward Scissorhands house knows that this was all just a honeypot to get Johnny Depp to put in an offer to buy this house? Or the only person that would pay $700,000 for the Edward Scissorhands Museum, maybe Tim Burton.
Yeah, maybe. If you look at the backyard, I'm looking at a picture right now.
Yeah.
The first thing I would say is I'm interested in this property as long as I can burn everything you have here.
Yeah.
Because it just looks like a landfill that's been nicely dressed up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Colorful.
Okay. So, yeah, did they film a scene in this house?
It sounded like it. The guy said that he was working at Denny's when they made the movie.
Yeah. Okay. It appeared in Edward Scissorhands, but again, I don't think that, like, I wouldn't imagine that there are scenes in the film that took place in the exterior, in the interior of this house.
Is there any movie house you would buy? Maybe that's a good question.
Shining.
That's a hotel.
Oh, okay.
Seems like a lot of upkeep.
Very cool, though. It's a nice big property.
Yeah. In the mountains. Actually, let's all go in on the Shining Hotel because that actually did look like a cool property.
Yeah. Okay. So that settled.
Yeah. Okay.
In Colorado, I believe, right?
Yeah, in Colorado.
Really nice. Okay. Yeah.
And they do say that in the film, this listing is the home of the Boggs family with whom Edward stayed. It just seems like a very small home to be, but I guess that Tim Burton was looking for that realism.
He really was.
Okay. Yeah. They filmed the whole movie in this cul-de-sac.
Cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Save a lot of money doing that.
For sure. Okay. Hey, it's Rob. It was an amazing week of Survivor, and we had incredible podcasts with Christian Hubicki and Steven on the Know-It-Alls. Make sure you catch those as well. Plus, The Circle was back this week with an AI contestant. Taryn, Mike Bloom, and Puya broke down the first week of drops from The Circle and on Renap. Who did Sam Moore find for the big guest? Find out on this week's Rob and Akiva Need a Podcast, all right here on RHAP. We know reality TV. All right, Danny, are you ready to take us to your bolt hole?
Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
I'm so ready.
Danny Bolt Hole Hands.
Welcome to my bolt hole. I think you're gonna like it. I think you're gonna feel you belong.
Yeah.
A nocturnal emission.
Yes.
Danny. Guys. I'm going to give you a big secret, big life hack.
Love it.
Love life hacks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm surprised this didn't make the show. My other story made the show.
Okay.
But this one did not. And that is study finds. So you can take this one to the bank, as we know. Positivity and Promotions is saying that agreeableness may be the key to success in life.
Yeah. Duh.
Right. I mean, if you want to climb up that corporate, that greasy pole of corporate's greasy pole, that's being agreeable is the number one thing. No one likes to keep someone around who's a negative Nancy, always saying no, always fighting the ideas. Only really smart leaders want someone around, you know, to like have a debate with and build stronger, whatever. But most managers just want you to nod your head and say yes. And then when they get bumped up, then the first thing they think of is, you know what? I really like that Tyson. He would make a great pickleball ambassador. Let's bring him on board.
Very, very agreeable.
I mean, does this study even need to be done? How many millions of dollars did they dump into it?
No, you just have to be, if you have a superior in your place of employment.
We all know this. That's what I'm saying. Like, why is this? Sometimes these studies just aren't necessary.
Sometimes you gotta just confirm what we already know.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
And maybe this will help one or two people who are like, I was going to be a total dick, but now that I've read the study.
The guy who did the study was getting flack for always kissing his boss's ass. And he was like, you know what? I'm going to prove it to you that what I'm doing here is actually correct. So he did a study and he's like, see, look, 9 times out of 10, I'm getting promoted over the asshole.
By the way, this does counter a previous study that I wanted to read on the podcast or may have a couple months ago. They did some research on how we treat others who are nice and generous. And what they found is most people hate individuals who are nice and generous. Because they feel
Why is Tyson so beloved?
Yeah. Well, they feel like the nice guy is just playing the game to climb that
fake nice, greasy pole. Fake nice. Yeah, so don't like that.
But they confuse fake nice with real nice. So they're willing to punish even the real nice person just because they're assuming that they're being fake nice.
I don't think you can give up on your morals just because people might be think you're being
fake. Oh, no, you shouldn't. But it was an interesting study. And in this, it was some kind of research. They played a game where you could give money or take away money or take, you know, like steal money. And they found that the person who usually gave money to the game was punished far more often than the people who stole money from the game. And it was kind of a surprise. So, you know, that's part of being agreeable, or maybe it's not. Maybe agreeable is just like, yes, that's such a good idea, but not necessarily going beyond that.
Yeah. So that's what it is.
It's a tightrope out there in that corporate world.
Avoiding confrontation in the corporate world.
Being nice, but not generous, right? So
sure.
I don't even know how people do it. That's why the people who get to the top are so weird. Yeah, they've been playing this game for so long.
Yeah. Listen to this guy. Shots the pro fired. Billionaire. Yeah,
put on the Ring app. Shots heard.
Wow.
By the way, pro billionaire people, the billionaires I like are the ones who kind of, they came up with their own thing. They didn't climb the corporate ladder, right?
Sure.
They kind of like had their own idea. They did work within the system, but they weren't necessarily trying to play the game between being agreeable, but not necessarily genuinely nice.
Okay.
It's just creating monsters.
Who's your number one favorite billionaire of all time?
Of all time? Oh, man, there's so many good ones, right? I mean, currently, Musk has got to be number one.
Okay.
Old Elon. I do wonder, I don't know if some of those older families like Carnegie and some of those actually at the time, I'm sure their wealth is currently $1 billion, but I just don't know that for sure.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, great work once again, Danny. You got anything coming up exciting this week?
Just trying to avoid death on a daily basis.
Yeah, but you don't do a great job, Danny.
Yeah.
Well, I haven't
done this every day.
Yeah.
Almost every day. Some days are more dangerous than others. You know what, though? I think about this all the time. I mentioned this when I watch those figure skaters, what they do on a daily basis is a million times more dangerous than what I do.
Yeah.
They don't get as much respect, but they should, because they're taking razor blade risks every day.
Listen, Rob, would you rather stay home and be safe and do things that you love, or go out every day with your friends doing something that isn't that much fun?
No,
you can be miserable.
That you love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Look, I don't love the same things Danny loves, but I can ask Tyson, ask me how many times I almost died this week.
How many times did you almost die this week?
I mean, none that I know of. Right. I could have, like, driven this body could be and, a yeah. ticking time bomb. You never know. You never know.
A flying
Nothing's
spider.
Guaranteed. Right.
So what are you? What you're saying, Rob, is live every moment like it's your last, even if it means taking risks on the slopes.
Yes. Sounds like it.
I don't know. You do. Everybody do what you want.
Well.
Do what you like.
I like that. That's very agreeable.
It is very agreeable, but also now you're liable for what? Everybody who's listened to this podcast who's like, I wasn't going to go ski an avalanche today, but I love to do it. And Rob said it's fine.
Look, yeah, some guy's like debating right now. He's like, should I go jump into that lion enclosure? Nah. And then he's like, well, Rob said to live my best life. Boom, into the lion enclosure he goes.
Yeah. Look, are you prepared for the consequences?
There you go. There's consequences, everyone.
I didn't know. Yeah, I only did it because you said. No.
No liability.
Take some
here.
Responsibility, sir. Okay.
Yeah. Come on, guy.
All right. You knew. All right.
So Tyson, what about you? You going to be taking risks on the pickleball court?
The ambassador.
I've taken risks on the pickleball court before, and I only really take risks on the pickleball court if I'm playing with people better than me that I'm trying to impress.
You have to. Yeah. You got to play that line. To.
So that's the only time I've really taken risks on the PB court. This week, definitely more pickleball and Survivor starting up. And with that, I know, Rob, you have lots of beautiful, wonderful Survivor podcasts. Mm-hmm. And I have a single beautiful, wonderful Survivor podcast. Mm-hmm. So that starts.
Which makes it in some ways more special than
Should
any
I start a Survivor podcast? I feel like maybe get in on that game.
It's either going to be News AF with just Rob and Tyson, or you need to start a Survivor podcast. Yeah.
I'll do a Survivor podcast about both of your Survivor podcasts.
Oh, you'll, so
you'll listen to our podcast, not watch, but don't watch the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I won't. That'll be my whole thing.
Honestly, I think it'd be easier just to recap the show. The podcasts are longer than the Survivor episodes.
I'm going to try for mine to not be.
Okay. All right.
But no promises.
Yeah. It's tough. Okay. It's easier said than done.
It really is. What do you got going on, Rob? I guess probably the same thing as me.
Survivor is back. Big Brother Canada. All the podcasts going on robiswebsite.com.
Okay. Very cool. Mm-hmm. I look forward to that. I think that's it.
All right. All right. So until next time, thanks for listening, everybody. Take care. Have a good one. Bye.
We did it, guys.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry. Sorry. We're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No. Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.